Today, I want to talk to you about how you can overcome temptation. In all of scriptures, it tells us not only to not do the things that God forbids us to do, but one of the saddest things is when we actually choose temptation and sin over God. When we actually choose those things that pull us away from this loving Father, from this loving Creator who wants to give us all the gifts, everything that we need to fulfill our mission. And so God warns us against temptations, not only to resist temptations, but actually to choose God over temptation and sin. And when you really think about it, temptation is actually an opportunity to grow. Let me explain. On your growth to becoming more Christ-like and to spiritual maturity, once you realize that temptation is just as much an opportunity to do good as it is to do bad, then you'll be more accepting. Temptation simply provides you the choice. So Satan, he uses temptation to destroy you. But God allows you to go through temptation to build you up. So when you choose good, then you can become more Christ-like. Let me demonstrate. I have here a wallet. And in here is something very valuable. So who wants to do a trade with me here? There's something very valuable in this wallet. And if you have a wallet in your pocket, maybe I'll choose someone. If you want to trade with me, I'm willing to do the trade. And this is the real deal, man. This is like deal or no deal. So let's see. Who wants to trade? There's something you're missing out. There's something very valuable here. Let's see. Who's got a wallet? Chris, do you have a wallet? Would you like to trade? You don't have to because this is final. What do you have in your wallet? Oh, what do you have in your wallet? You got money in there? Are you sure you're willing to make a trade? Oh, wow, see, okay, I'll let you hold on to that. Maybe I'm giving up on. Here, see, let's do the trade. All right. So there's something valuable here. What is in there? Why don't you open it for the people to see? Nothing, right? And, whoa, dude, yeah, I'm richer. This is final, man. You got to talk to Risa afterwards. So here's the point. What I'm demonstrating is this, right? This wallet, this is what sin looks like, right? Each one of us, we all have an urge, and sin presents itself where we feel like, oh, if I could have that, then I can have more pleasure. And then we take it, right? And then we discover, you know what? It was empty. There was nothing. It promised to give me pleasure and joy, but in the end when I look, like Chris discovered, that's what Satan does. It's like, you know what? There's nothing in here. And that's the story of our ancestors. You know, God freed them from slavery, right? God did all these things, and you would think, oh yeah, they're not going to trade God for idols and sin. And yet they did, because it was that feeling again of, you know what? If only I can get that pleasure. If only we, in these idols, we could indulge in our sin. And so God says, okay, go ahead. But that's what's sad. God looks down and you're like, really? You traded me for that? And then they realize, wow, I made a dumb trade. It was all empty. I can't even fill it with anything. You know, before I came here, as I said in my earlier mass, I was thinking and talking to God, what can I say to the people here so that they don't run towards those temptations that drive them away from you? But here's the truth of the matter. After you leave this church, from now until the end of the year, some of you will be tempted by something or someone that will pull you away from the church, that will pull you away from your family, and that will pull you away from God. And what's funny is you will be tempted and some of you will give into it. But it's always, I want to remind you, it's always going to be empty. There has never been a person in the history of this planet that has made the trade, like I tried to demonstrate, and was thankful for it. But you know what's amazing? Yet people still get deceived. Because when you look all around you, there's just this reality, there's this urge in each and every one of us. The urge comes from each of us, and we're all made differently. Where we see something, and it's so, we just know, oh, it's going to give me pleasure. And you're like, oh, God, I know I love you, right? And we do. But at the same time, we're like, oh, if only I could have that. If only I could have that pleasure, God. And some of us, we might even think, how could I love you, God, so much, and yet still, I still feel this way. Right? It's like, the way I describe it is, it's like a person is going fishing. Imagine if I had a fishing rod right here, and then the fisherman will put a worm, right? And this is what the devil does. So he wiggles that worm around you. Oh, yeah? You're not interested? Okay. Let's try something else. I'll get you interested. What about $100? Yeah? Check this out. See? If you come follow me, this is the devil, not Jesus saying. If you come follow me, you'll make money because when you sit in church, you lose money. You put it in the collection basket. But if you come follow me, he says, you know what? You can make more of these babies, these green babies, right? So he's dangling this in front of you and he's thinking, he wants you to get away from church. He wants you to go away from your family. And you're thinking, nope, that's not going to do it for me. So the devil says, okay, it's not going to work. And in fact, a more realistic representation is if you live in L.A., right where we live here in Southern California, the devil says, oh yeah, what about this, huh? And what about this, baby? Now we're talking. And what about glamour, yeah? She's pretty, check her out. And what about chocolate? Now you want this, right? And what about potato chips? Yeah, that's right. Now I got your attention. And some of these snacks, this will solve your problem. They're not paying attention to you. Eat some of these babies. That will make you happy. Right? And so every single day, right, this is more a realistic presentation. It's not just one thing. It's actually all these things that Satan is dangling in front of us. And then we're like, so Father, what do you do? What do we do when we try to love Jesus, we try to serve him and do his will, and all these temptations are coming our way? Don't despair. Even when it looks as though it's impossible to overcome temptation, it is not. Because in his scripture, it says that God will never allow you to go through anything without giving you the tools and the wherewithal to overcome temptation. So my first suggestion is this. When you go through a temptation, don't fight it. Fighting it is like, I will not do this, I will not do this, I will not do this. Oh, I did it. You know, I did it again. I mean, no, you don't do it like that. Ignore it, right? The best way is to refocus your mind on something else. That's why all those other things don't work, like fad diets. I will not eat this, I will not eat this. Because your mind is, the more you say you're not going to do it, it's still focused on it. But when you refocus your mind on something else, then it changes the focus. And the other thing is, like, when the enemy calls you on the phone, don't argue with the enemy, just hang up the phone. That means that sometimes when you're looking at the internet or television and there's something there you're not supposed to see, don't say, I shouldn't see this. Learn to turn off the television or the internet and say, I'm not going to trade God and his love for this junk. That's what you got to do. If you're in a fight or some kind of conversation where you're yelling, and there's always an alarm that goes off inside of us, and we know it. Most people have learned to ignore the alarm. When you're doing something you're not supposed to, there's an alarm that says, don't do that. Don't ignore that. Learn to walk away and say, you know what? I'm not going to trade God and make an exchange for this. Another suggestion that I have is this. If you've been struggling with the same addiction, with the same sin, and doing it for a long time, and you go through the same pattern of struggle, failure, guilt, right? Learn to share it with a godly person or another Christian. I'm not talking about advertising it to the entire world what you did. But what I'm talking about is you need someone who will hold you accountable. Someone who will pray over you. Someone who will encourage you in your time of struggle. and someone who, like I said, a support group or a person that will actually hold you accountable. And the third suggestion that I have is this. Notice what Jesus did in today's gospel. So Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. I don't know how he did that. I mean, I fast 2 days, I'm like, get out of my way, I need to eat. Like, you know, I'm just really like on edge. Like, dude, don't even talk. Like, Father, what? You know? Oh my goodness, okay, you're busy, I get it. But here's Jesus, 40 days and 40 nights, right? So the devil knows, okay, it represents to us what all of us go through. So first, the devil talks about material things. He uses bread. But bread can represent anything. It can be your wealth. It can be sexuality. It could be all those things. But the point is, some of those things are not even bad in and of themselves. But it becomes bad when we place them above God. And notice what Jesus does. He quotes God's words, right? He doesn't argue with Satan with his own words. Jesus uses God's word against Satan. And when you do that, Satan has no power, right? He says, man does not live by bread alone. Boom, right? And then the devil's like, all right, I'll get this guy. So he gives him another temptation. He's like, well, throw yourself down. Jesus didn't say, no, why should I? You know, he quotes the biblical verse and he says, you shall not put your God to the test, right? It's like, I'm not doing that, right? So a lot of times when we put God to the test, we think we're putting ourselves equivalent to him, but we're not. And then the third thing, the devil says, I'll give you all these things, right? This is the temptation for us, that empty promise. Dude, you want to trade? You can have more pleasure. You can have more joy. Come on, think about it. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Come on, you know you want this, right? That's what the enemy does. And then every once in a while, we're like, oh, okay. And then we grab and realize, no, I was wrong. And then what's funny sometimes in our society is we don't take responsibility. We blame, right? It goes all the way back to the beginning of creation. What happened when Adam and Eve fell? God goes to Adam. What did he say? Hey, Adam, why did you eat the apple? He was like, I was fine before you brought the woman into the picture. You know, I was enjoying myself and she came along. Coochie, 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 coochie. Here's an apple. Check it out. You know you want it. And then, bam. And then, so God goes to the woman. Woman, what have you to say for yourself? I didn't do it. The serpent tricked me. I didn't know it was bad. He made me do it, right? There's that famous quote, the devil made me do it. But really, no one can make us do anything. When temptation comes, we have an opportunity to choose wrong or to do what is good. The one thing that you want, when the third thing that I want to suggest to you is you want to be fixed on Jesus Christ. You know, have you ever had a situation when you're driving or you're working on a project or an assignment or even driving where you're so focused that you're looking for the exit and you can't find it? And even when people drive by, maybe someone that you knew, they waved at you and you didn't even notice them because you were just so focused. The next day they're like, oh, I saw you in the freeway. And you're like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't notice you. Right? Because you were just so focused that nothing else mattered. That's what God wants. When your eyes are fixed on Jesus, when you're fixed on the Savior, when you're fixed on his love, then even when the enemy dangles all these different things, whether it's drugs or money or fame or whatever it is, you're like, that's all you got? No. No, thanks. I'm focused. I'm not going to trade this love that I have. Is this picture of this person, whether it's a man or a woman, so in love and is saying to the Creator or to the Beloved, I love you, I love you, I love you. And everyone can be dancing around him, but he can't notice those things because he's focused. That's why the scripture says, if you love God, you're going to be fine. That's what it means. When you're totally at the deepest level, you love God with everything that you have. The enemy will try to dangle the money, whatever kind of temptation, but you're so focused on God that it's so strong that it's like the enemy knows, you know what? I can't do anything for this person. He's already captured and captivated by God. And isn't it amazing? Today we celebrate Valentine's Day, and Valentine's is a celebration for couples of the love that we share. And yet, it's a reminder to us in a more profound sense. Love it's what's going to allow us to be bound together. Love is what's going to allow us to overcome those things. I'm not just talking about that lovey-dovey emotion, but it's that real love for God, right? Love, it says in Corinthians, it is not jealous, it is not pompous, it does not rejoice in people's suffering, but it rejoices in doing God's will. That's why Satan had nothing on Jesus. Because when Satan threw all these temptations, Jesus was so united and so focused on his Father, and he quoted scriptures, that Satan couldn't do anything to him. So my recommendation to all of you as well is try to memorize one biblical verse every week. Imagine if you memorize one verse every week. There are 52 weeks in 1 year. When the devil attacks you during the lowest moments of your life, you can come up with a biblical verse that will counter the devil. So in the end, as we prepare to receive the body and blood of Christ, my suggestion to all of you is, if you realize that temptation is just as much an opportunity to do what is good as it is to do what is evil, it simply provides the choice, then you would be less scared. And if you put into practice these suggestions, not only will it help you, but you will also be able to help others overcome their temptation, and you can help them realize who they are, so that together we can become that holy, healthy, and vibrant people that God created us to be. Do you believe this? Can you give a shout out, amen?